know that I don't sleep alone. I sleep with three dogs in the bed. And one mean chihuahua on the floor. But every morning when I get up, the first thing that I do is I say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking, I'm telling you.
Yes.
Since ain't nobody that can tell you, I'm going to tell you. When I open my eyes, the first thing I say is thank you, God. And on my way to the bathroom, I say it every day. While on others, you're calling on. Don't forget about me today.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I'm so grateful for another year. Friends with me on Facebook who saw what I used to look like.
Yeah.
And they said that I wouldn't make it. And they came and they looked at me. And they came with their Sunday best because they were going to stay long enough to look at me, then bury me, then eat some chicken and go home. And instead I said I'm hungry. And they ran and got the nurse, and the nurse got the doctor, and the doctor said, well, give him something to eat. That was 31 years ago. Front of the fireplace at my funeral home. And in the picture, there was a blue chair. In the blue chair was Mr. Judd. Behind him, standing, were James Holly, myself, and Pablo. And I looked at the picture, and I said, well, Mr. Judd is gone. Picture again, and I said, Brother Holly is in transition. And then I started looking at the picture. And I said, well, if natural order takes its place, I'm the next one. So I had a renewed fire yesterday. I walked around looking for stuff to do. Amen. But it's all right.
Yes, sir.
The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. On this day and in this place, God, just give me a little bit more than I normally ask for. Move me out of the way so that we may hear a word from on high. I love you and I thank you for everything that you've done for me. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
1 Peter 1, 13 and 19, and I'm going to cut this short because I did a lot of studying in preparation for this, and I think it's too long, so we may come back and finish it up next week. Amen.
Amen.
The Amplified version of the Bible, 1 Peter 1, 13 through 19 says, so prepare your minds for action, be completely sober in spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God that is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Live as obedient children of God. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which govern you in ignorance. Before you knew the requirements and the transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. See, that's why I like the Amplified Bible. It says, live as obedient children of God. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which govern you in your ignorance before you knew the requirements and before you knew the transforming power of the good news regarding salvation. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all of your conduct. Be set apart from the world by your godly character and your moral courage. Because it is written, you shall be holy, set apart, for I am holy. If you address as Father, see, it's where you put the commas. Verse 17, if you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in reverent fear of him and with profound respect for him, throughout the time of your stay on this earth. For you know that you were not redeemed from your uselessness, spiritually unproductive way of life inherited by tradition from your forefathers with perishable things like silver and gold, but you were actually purchased with precious blood, like that of a sacrificial lamb, unblemished and spotless, the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
You ought to get the Amplified version of the Bible if you don't have it. It fills in the blanks.
Yes, it does.
It answers some questions. What does that mean? If you don't have it, get it. If you don't want to get one, look it up on the internet. The Amplified version of the Bible. Today, briefly talking about holiness. Don't leave home without it. Amen, somebody.
Yeah.
We talk about taglines and slogans, and if I say some, I'm sure that you can report them. Repeat them back to me. I want to be a Toys R Us kid, right? McDonald's, loving it. Come on, talk to me.
Yeah.
De Beers, they said a diamond is forever. American Airlines said something special in the air. Ajax used to say stronger than dirt. But no, most notable is American Express. Don't
leave home without.
Amen. A tagline or a slogan. In business, a slogan is a catchphrase or a small group of words that are combined in a special way to identify a product or a company with a company. In many ways, there are many mission statements.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? There are many mission statements. In many ways, they are mission statements. I want to talk on the subject of holiness. Don't leave home without it. That ought to be a mission statement for us today. Amen.
Amen.
I know there's only a few here, but y'all talk to me,
yeah,
and we'll get out of here soon. Amen.
All right.
That ought to make y'all hoot and holler and scream and shout and dance in the aisles. Amen. If you don't say nothing, that means you want to study, and we'll start at Genesis and we'll go on through Revelation. Amen.
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
The call to be holy. One of the most significant callings that God puts on the heart of his people is the call to be holy.
Yes, Lord.
1 Peter 1 and 15 says, but just as you were called to be holy, so holy in all you do, for it is written,
mm-hmm,
be holy because I'm holy. See, we miss that. We think that it's simply enough to be saved. Amen. We think it's simply enough to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. But we don't think about walking in holiness every day of the week. Am I with you?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Are you understanding? See, we're trying to develop our personal relationships. It's time for us to strengthen our personal relationships with Jesus. If we're not strong in our personal relationship, when the foundation of the church shakes, we'll go running in different directions. Amen.
Amen.
So it's the time for us to work on our relationships on a personal level so we can be stronger as a family. Am I talking to anybody?
Amen.
I want to talk about the importance of being holy. God's word says to us in 1 Peter that we should be holy simply because he is holy.
Mm-hmm.
Hagios in Greek is used several times in Peter's first letter with regard to conduct or behavior. In addition, the word holy is used more than 500 times throughout 66 books of the Bible. 500 times out of 66 books means that is something that we need to look at very closely.
Yes.
It's something that's very important. Are you with me? Yes. The Holy Word implies sacredness, being consecrated to God or being worthy of God. To be holy is to be free from anything that would offend a perfect God.
Yes.
You missed it. The call to be holy and to be holy is to be free from anything that would offend a perfect God.
Yes.
See, we miss that. Do we know that we can offend God?
Yes.
Do we understand that we can grieve His Spirit?
Yes.
Do we understand that we just can't do whatever we want to do, however we want to do it? Sometimes we have to sacrifice some
yes.
things. Amen.
Yes.
Sometimes
yes.
we have to sacrifice some stuff, some yes. people, some places in order to get closer to God. Y'all aren't talking to me. I preach to myself. Sometimes you just have to let some stuff go. Are you with
yes.
me? Because you can't get close to Him if you're grieving His Spirit.
Yes. Come on.
A portion of the entry under holy in the definition of the Nelson Bible reads as follows. Holy means to be moral and ethical.
Uh-huh.
Wholeness or perfection. Freedom from moral evil. Holiness is one of the essential elements of God's nature required of His people.
Yes.
It was a command. The Bible, in the Bible, it says, be holy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Two words. It's a command. Be holy.
Yes.
If I say go there, I mean go there. I don't mean maybe go over there. Go over there if you feel like it. Go over there by way of this thing. If I say go over there, I mean go over there. When you call your children and you say come here, you mean come here. You don't mean go over there first, ask somebody else's permission, wait for somebody to come with a stone tablet and chisel you directions. When you say to your kid, come here, you expect them to come running quick, fast, and in a hurry. The Bible says be holy.
Be holy. Be holy.
Because I am.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm going to do it, I expect it from you.
Yes.
Come on.
If we think about what God did for us by sending His Son,
yes.
and we think about what Jesus did by dying for us
mm-hmm.
in spite of us,
yes.
when He gives us a command, we ought to come running.
Yes.
Amen.
Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. 1 Peter 2:12. As Christians, we're not to value the things of the world.
Uh-huh.
We're not supposed to value the things that the world values. Am I talking to anybody?
Yes.
We're not supposed to accept the sinful, evil ways of the world, to embrace them or to allow them to become part of our lives.
Yes.
In addition, and more importantly, it means that whatever sinful, evil ways of the world we did follow prior to becoming a Christian now need to be stopped. If you found the Lord and you say you found Him and you were just like you were before you found Him, I suggest to you, you need to go back and find Him again.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Yeah, I'm not saying that you can't strive for good things.
Come on.
Amen.
I'm not saying that you can't strive for a big house and a nice car. Sister LaToya is waiting on her first Rolex and a Mercedes. And I say she gonna get it. And I say she gonna have it. But that's not, when she dies, she gonna leave it right here.
Yeah.
Everything that I have worked for, when I die, I'm gonna leave it right here.
Yeah.
My brother's gonna drive my car till the inspection sticker run out. They're gonna come through my house and everything that I put up, they're gonna pull down. They're gonna sell it for whatever they can get. Nobody loves your stuff like you. But the point I'm trying to make is all the time we spend chasing after stuff in the world, when we die, we gonna leave it right here. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody, but this world is not my home. Done with
yes.
sin. It's that simple. 1 Peter 1:14, the New International Version says, as obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance.
Yes.
So many times when we consider Christ's work on the cross, we focus on the forgiveness of sins and we miss the other important work that he has done. Are you with me? Therefore, since Christ suffered in this body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Christ suffered, so are you. After you have suffered a little while. Because he has suffered in the body, it is done with sin. As a result, he does not live out the rest of his earthly life for human desires. Are you with me? But rather for the will of God. He came.
Yes, sir.
We ran behind him.
Yeah.
On Friday, we didn't even want his donkey's feet to touch the dirt.
Right.
And next week, we were yelling, crucify. Come on, somebody. And while he suffered, he understood what was going on. But after the suffering was over, he was about the will of his Father. Christ suffered in his body so that we, his followers, could be done with sin. I don't know. I would be so angry. Me, a man. I would be so angry if I went through all that suffering and pain. Just for folks to not get it. If I went through all that suffering and pain just to see folks dismiss my word. If I went through all that suffering and pain just to see folks go and make a train wreck of their life. I don't believe that when Jesus came, he came so we could just do whatever we want. He came that we might be able to go back where he is. He didn't come so we could do whatever we want. Plain and simple, we need to stop.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Plain and simple, we just need to knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to get real.
Yeah.
We need just to, you know, we need to be able to just be like, look.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah. No.
Broken up, wounded up, beat up, abused up, used up, worn out, tired, but here I am. Do a work in me.
Yes.
And then allow him to do it. We run to the altar and we ask God for forgiveness, and then we go out and we do just what we did before.
Yeah.
How many times will you bail your children out of jail?
Come on, true.
How many times will you lend your children money?
Come on.
Give. Yeah, because you don't lend your children money. That's a lie you told yourself. I might get an email from my dad. Anyway, let me get back. But the point I'm trying to make is, at some point you have to understand that you need to change how we walk. We need to change how we live our lives. We can't just come to church on Sunday. This is not a shouting message, but this is something that's just been on my heart because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah.
We've got a Sunday persona.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
How are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Mm-hmm.
And on Monday, how are you? May not get a response back.
How?
I like folks who are the same on Monday as they are on Sunday.
Yeah.
I love folks that are the same on Tuesday that they were on Sunday.
Yeah.
I love folks that can make it to Wednesday and they still like they were on Sunday. That's why we need to have Thursday service to get us back in line. So on Friday, we can be like we were on Thursday, like we were on Sunday. Amen.
Yeah.
I believe that God appreciates consistency.
Yeah.
It is important for us to realize and understand some of the characteristics of the things that we go through. And I want to just talk about some stuff very quickly, because one of the things that trips us up is lust. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be after a thing or a sexual thing. It could be a food. I ate so much on Thursday that I felt so guilty on Friday that I ate salad and drank water all day long. And I said to my mother, I said, she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm eating a salad. She said, are you okay, honey? I said, yes. I said, I just feel so bad because I ate so bad on Thursday. And she said to me, she said, eating good on Friday isn't going to change your greed that you had on Thursday. She said, so what you need to understand is you can't have any more Thursdays.
Amen. Amen.
Come on. I said, I call you back. Lust is a universal thing, and every one of us experiences that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the root of temptation. Lust begins with a desire, and it becomes a craving if it's not dealt with in a godly manner. I will tell you the honest to goodness truth, and it's coming to me just now. It's not even anything that I have written down. I've never asked God to help me watch what I eat. But yet you always hear me eating about something I'm not supposed to eat. Got it. Okay, see. So if y'all didn't get nothing, I got something to work with. Today, we understand that lust is destructive and possesses the following characteristics. Listen, it's of the world. It makes us want it now.
Yeah.
It makes us selfish. It says just take it. It is sinful, it is moral, and it creates an anxiousness in your spirit. I've got to do it now. I've got to have it now. I've got to take a shortcut now. I don't want to study. I just want a degree. I don't want to work under somebody. I just want to pastor. I want the promotion, but I'm not willing to put the work in down here. I want the office, but I'm not willing to clean the toilet in the bathroom. Lust is something that makes us move in anxiousness. And you know what? It can't be satisfied. Because as soon as you get that, then you want a bigger office. As soon as, I'm talking to you because I'm talking to me too. As soon as you get one Rolex, you want two. As soon as you get a Benz, a C-Class, then you want an E-Class. As soon as you get an E-Class, then you want an AMG.
OMG.
Ultimately, lust leads to what? Disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt and pain.
Yeah.
Regret. Why did I spend all that money? Why did I buy that? Destruction and loss. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
There's a difference between walking in happiness and holiness. The world and Satan says that people have the right to be happy. And achieving happiness should be paramount, and it should be of importance, when really what should be paramount is thanking God for another day. Asking God, how can I be used today to bring you glory? What can I do today to grow the kingdom? What can I do today to bring you honor? What can I do today to help somebody know you like I do? But the world says, no, you need this, that, and the other. Think about times when you've had discussions with people in which they rationalize a person's behavior. And we say things like, well, if they're happy, that's all that matters. There are going to be a lot of happy people in line on Judgment Day that when their answer comes, they're not going to be so happy.
Amen.
However, most people of the world, the happiness that they gain by is obtained short, quick, and it's short-lived. Things that come quick, go quick. And things that you work for will stay a very, very long time.
Amen.
Accomplishments and acquisitions never bring the amount of happiness that we expected. I will be truthful. I thought, boy, when I get to be so big that I can actually turn people away, I'm going to have it made. And then when I got to the point where we got so big and busy that I had to turn people away, I thought, I don't even have time to eat.
All right.
It leaves a hollow feeling, and then it causes us to move on to the next thing.
Well,
the next person. A higher high. From pop to crack.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's how it starts,
right?
Amen.
See, be quiet.
Come on.
Yeah, like we don't.
Come on.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. Something in trying to understand is we need to be helpful and identify there are three He issues ideas or concepts of what holiness isn't.
Mm-hmm.
First, we acknowledge that holiness is not some type of weird withdrawing from people or a reclusive act in which we separate ourselves from humanity. Have you ever met someone that they're, but Reverend Baxter said, they're so holy that they're no earthly good?
Mm-hmm.
That is not holiness.
Amen.
Holiness means that we can walk amongst things.
Mm-hmm.
And not be distracted by that.
Wow.
Yes. Amen. You should be able to walk into a room and be able to walk into a room full of vipers and see the snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And not be distracted.
Amen.
You should be able to preach while bleeding. You should be able to preach when folks won't even speak to you.
Amen.
In
yes.
your own church.
Yes.
Walking in holiness allows you to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you become a recluse and you stay inside and you say, oh, I can't eat there because there's a bar in the corner. Well, you may be eating Big Macs for the rest of your life because everywhere you go that there is a bar in yes. the corner of some restaurant.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you can't go and eat places. Amen?
Amen.
It just means that when we go there, we don't swing from the chandeliers like we ain't got no sense.
Uh-huh.
We're called to engage people of the world and to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. How are we going to share the good news with Jesus Christ if we don't go out into the world? Because it's sure not coming up into the church.
Right.
So if we don't get out there amongst them and talk about a man named Jesus, they're not going to know about him. Amen, somebody. So when you meet somebody and say, what were you doing over there? How do you know I wasn't going over there looking for somebody to pray for?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I was just hungry.
Yeah.
We need to be mindful of the fact that we have become Christians. We were once in darkness and now we are a light. So what do you do with a light? You take it into a dark place.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Don't get so holy that you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
That you can't do anything. But you have to understand who you are and whose you are. And you need to walk in what God has for you. So when folks in a dark place, they see you, they see your light, they'll come over and they'll say, what is different about you? There's something different about you. Say it's Jesus. John tells us if we claim to be without sin, we deceive our own selves and the truth ain't in us.
Well, sure.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
When you meet somebody that say, oh, boy, no, they lying to themselves. They lying to you. And God is grieved by their actions.
Yeah.
I'll be the first one to tell you, don't ride in the car with me any more than around the corner. So that preacher, see, we all have a thing.
Yeah.
If we claim to be without a thing,
uh-huh.
we're lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
We're lying to you. And listen, here's the secret. The world already know what your thing is.
Well,
that's why it's best to stand up and say, yeah, I got a thing.
Yeah.
So do you. You work on yours, I work on mine. I pray for your thing, you pray for mine. And Lord willing, it won't be as big of a thing yesterday as it is right now. And if we keep on praying, sooner or later, that thing will be. And then when the next thing comes, just pray it out. But to act like you don't have a thing, that is to your detriment. Come on, somebody, give him praise. What does it mean to live a holy life? To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia. They have been chosen according to their foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. What does that mean? The key words in the passage turn to our ability and tells us that we are to be holy through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Amen. A portion in the Nielsen Bible says sanctification is the process of God's grace by which the believer is separated from sin and becomes dedicated to God's righteousness, accomplished by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Sanctification results in holiness and purification from the guilt and the power of sin. You missed that thing. The process of God's grace by which the believer is separated from that thing, separated and then dedicated to God's righteousness. Sanctification is the process by which we are made holy and is achieved by the Holy Spirit working in us. If you don't let him in, you won't be sanctified. If you don't let him in, you won't be filled. If you don't let him in, you ain't getting in. First Peter said, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world, abstain from sinful desires which war against your very soul."
Yes.
I say, live by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the sins of the flesh. If you live in the Spirit, you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you live in the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. I'm going to say it till somebody shouts. If you live by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of a sinful nature, because it's contrary to the holiness of God. The last days. I believe
that.
Look around. Read your Bible. Turn on CNN. If that isn't revelation before your eyes. We're in last days. We're in evil days. Church folks, we come on Sunday. We sing. We shout. We testify. We preach. We pray. And we play. Then we go and we live however we see fit under the guise that God loves me. Come on, somebody. God loves you. He loves you in your mess. I love you in your mess. It doesn't mean that your mess won't send you straight to hell. Come on, somebody. We need to be real with this. If God came and he sent Jesus for one reason only, to keep us out of the pits of hell. So if we believe in Jesus, then we've got to believe in heaven. And if we believe in heaven, we've got to believe in hell. And if there is a heaven and there is a hell, that means in one of two places, we will open our eyes. And the choice belongs to us. It's time to stop playing. It's time to stop playing church. We don't have time to play. Sooner or later, you're going to get a doctor's report. Sooner or later, a car is going to hit you. Sooner or later, a heart attack will come. A gunshot, a cancer, a tumor, and you'll be laid out. And when you are laid out, whatever you died, that is what you're going to resurrect. If you died a sinner, that is what you will resurrect. Come on, somebody. Come on. My stepdaddy was a good man. A good man. Wealthy man. He gave to the poor. I'm telling you the truth. He gave to the poor. He would take, if you needed a belt, he'd take it right off and hand it to you. He would feed people on the street. Anything that people needed, he would make sure they had. Mm-hmm. Wherever he went, he made sure that he helped somebody. And he was always mindful of the needs of others. But he never confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when they laid him out, the pastor had to keep looking at the bulletin because he didn't even know his name. If he didn't know his name.
Come on, Jesus.
Come on, what are you thinking? What do you think? Mm-hmm. It's not about what we do.
Right.
It's about the spirit in which we do it.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
And I'm done, but there is a hymn that says time is filled with swift transitions. It means before you know it, time is swiftly moving by.
Yeah.
Before you know it, things have shifted and changed, and you don't even realize it. I remember when I was running track and wrestling in school, and now I have gray hair and I'm overweight. Time is filled with swift transition. Quicker than you can bat your eye, you're old.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Quicker than you can bat your eye, you're sick.
Yeah.
You can be up one day and literally the next day you can be down. With a family in complete disbelief. Their loved one got up to go to work. And by dinner time, listen, by dinner time, they were on the embalming table in the funeral. Time is filled with swift transition. Not on earth can move or stand. That means there's nothing that we can do about it.
Yeah.
We are in the middle of time. Amen. And it is moving swiftly by. We don't have a lot of it. We'll never get any of it back. So what we do with it must be used to glorify God. We can't glorify Him if we're not walking in holiness. Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody, time is filled with transition. Not on earth can move or stand. So you ought to build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's love. Church are open. There is one that desires special prayer. You may come.